Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord has made, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad you decided to join us tonight. We have a special guest that's coming on with us. His name is Buddy Jewel, and I cannot wait to get him on the air. I'm going to read a little bit about Buddy before we bring him on. Buddy Jewel was voted the very first winner of the USA Network reality-based TV show Nashville Star. Buddy was the true viewer favorite from the premiere episode. He captured 65% of the nationwide voting and beating out 11 other contestants, most notably Miranda Lambert, by over 2 million votes on the final episode. His self-titled Columbia Records release debuted at number one on the Billboard Top Country Album chart. It was certified gold and garnered two back-to-back top five hits with Sweet, Southern Comfort, and Help Pour Out the Rain. Both tunes were certified 1 million radio airplays. Wow, that's phenomenal. Buddy has been recognized by the Grammys, the ACMs, the CMAs, and the CMT with multiple award nominations. And I'm not going to read anymore because Buddy, I know, has some phenomenal testimony. I know he's had some phenomenal information that he wants to give you tonight. So without further ado, I want to bring this phenomenal man of God on the line. Buddy, are you on the air with
me? Yes, ma'am. I'm right here.
Hi, Buddy. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. So glad you took the time out of your busy schedule to come on with us tonight. So excited. So we're going to jump right in on this interview. Now, I read a little bit about, who you are, but I want you to tell our listening audience all about Buddy Jewel, how you feel you really got started in the business, and just how what you're doing now, and, just give them a little bit of piece of who Buddy is.
Well, I got started like a lot of singers do. When I was a little boy, I started singing in church, that's as far back as I can remember. And, I started playing guitar when I was about 14 years old, sang in church choirs and ensembles. And I was really shy when I first started out. I really wouldn't sing in public by myself. And, but when I was, about 16, I finally had some people convince me to start singing some solos in church and at weddings and places like that. And my confidence grew over the years. And then in college, some friends of mine convinced me to get involved in a talent contest on campus at Arkansas State University. And I came in second place in that contest, and that really bolstered my confidence quite a bit. And from there, I just, I started singing more and more. And as time progressed, I wound up working with a band out of Southwest Arkansas that toured all over the country. And then I met my wife, Tanae, in Dallas back in 1987. And I was playing in that band there. And the band broke up a couple of years later. In 1993, Tanae and my wife and I and our first son, our oldest son, Buddy, was about four. We moved to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here looking for work as a studio singer.
Mm-hmm.
And started getting work as a studio singer and doing work for publishing companies and songwriters, recording their songs they'd written. And they'd take those songs, they'd play them for people that already had recording contracts like George Strait and Garth Brooks and all that. And,
Wow. And
I sang on over 5,000 of those recordings over about an 8 or 9 year period. And then Nashville Star came along and God softly let me win it. And then fast forward to today, and here I am talking to you. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
That's fantastic. Now, I want to go back because, you know what, you know, I've seen Nashville Star before. And, I mean, what was the process to audition to even get on that? I mean, that's got to be phenomenal just in itself.
Well, yes, ma'am. It was back then in 2003, there weren't that many reality television shows on the air then. Really, there was
mm-hmm.
Survivor, Big Brother, and American Idol. It was had only been on the air for one season at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nashville Star came on. And there were a little over 8,000 people nationwide that tried out for it, which is relatively small considering – you know, some of the other talent contests that are on the air nowadays are goodness, I'm telling how many people try out for American Idol and the Voice these
mm-hmm.
days. But
mm-hmm.
But I stood in line all day in Nashville to get a chance to go in and sing in front of some judges. I got about 30 seconds, and then the process, it was like being in a cattle chute, you know. They kept narrowing you down, you know, and they'd get rid of a few, and you had to sing for some more people, and if they liked you, you went a little further, you know, down a hallway, and there were some more people to sing for, and if they liked you, they kept sending you off. If they didn't like you, they told you to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there for all day, and then when that process was over with, they had, I think, a couple more days worth of it that I had to work my way through, and they had a citywide competition that I won the Nashville City competition, and then
mm-hmm.
I actually wound up losing the regional competition, and
mm-hmm.
And thought that my run was over with, and lo and behold, the producers had decided that they wanted to keep a couple of extra people, and if I'm not mistaken, myself and Miranda Lambert were the two people that they brought back in who had lost in the finals of those regionals. And they were only intending to keep 10 people on the show at one point in time, but they apparently liked me and Miranda so much that they decided to keep 12 people on the show instead of 10. And she and I wound up being two of the three finalists that America voted, you know, to keep on the show to that point. So it was it was a scary process. Every Saturday night, we were on the air live.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew who was going to be voted off until it actually happened. Even the cameramen, they didn't know until the commercial before they did the actual announcement. They would tell them right before they came back live, producer would say, okay, here's who to focus on. They're voted off. And that's the only time that they knew. Even Nancy O'Dell, who was the host, she didn't know until literally about 30 seconds before they made the announcement. She didn't know who was going to be voted off, so none of us knew either. So it was very scary, and every Saturday night I thought I just knew I was going to be the one sent home, and every Saturday night they didn't call my name. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. I've made another week, and 9 weeks went by, and at the end of the process, I'm standing on stage with my good friend John Arthur Martinez, the two oldest and ugliest guys on the show, and outlasted all the younger, prettier ones, and there we were, you know. So it was a phenomenal moment for me. I had been in Nashville for 10 years trying to get a record deal, and I truly believe that, you know, that I serve a God who loves me enough that he'd go out of his way to create a TV show to give me my break, because that's how I got my record deal.
Wow, that is fantastic. you know, I know there's going to be some artists that are listening because we, you know, even though we try not to, you know, cater to too many artists, but we get a lot of, you know, independent artists and up-and-coming artists. And, you know, when they go back and listen to this, this is really going to be a testament to them that you really got to, you know, hold on and just trust God in the process. Don't you believe that?
Well, absolutely. You know, he's got his own, you know, God's got his own time zone. You know, we're not always in it, you know. But we got to trust him because, you know, what he has laid out and planned for us is just so much better and so much more wonderful than we could ever imagine. I could have never dreamed that this is how he would, you know, work things out for me. I would have never thought that that's how he would have given me my break. I would have never dreamed that he would have taken a little song that I wrote about my daughter, that was something that she just said when she was 3 years old, that would be become a huge hit and something that he would use to be part of the healing process for so many families all over the world who lost children, you know, to tragic things in their lives, and God used it to draw people to him and to be part of the healing process. Just all those things that I never would have imagined would happen, you know, he took and made that, you know, part of my story. And God's got his, you know, he's got plans like that for everybody's lives, just wonderful things planned for everybody. We just got to hold on and trust him, you know.
Yes. Now, that song about your daughter, is that Help Pour Out the Rain?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Talk about that song. Let our listening audience know a little bit about, you know, the background behind that.
Well, it's a true story. My daughter, Lacey, she was 3 years old. I'll never forget. I was driving her, but there was a lady named Miss Kay, who two of the three kids, she had an in-home daycare, and Lacey would go out and stay with Miss Kay while my wife did nails. She did, you know, was a nail specialist, a manicurist, and I sang these demo songs, and she would keep our children for us while we were working, and I was taking Lacey out to Miss Kay's house, and we're driving along, and the conversation is about a 15-minute drive to Miss Kay's house from ours, and somehow Lacey and I got to talking about Jesus and heaven, and at first Lacey said, she's 3 years old, she's in her little car seat in the back seat, and this sweet little voice in the back seat says, "Daddy, I don't think I want to go to heaven." And I kind of chuckled, and I said, "Well, you better think about that again, because I hear the other place doesn't have air conditioning." You know, I was kidding her. And she got real quiet, and after a minute, she said, "Well, Daddy, if I go to heaven, will God let me help pour out the rain?" And I thought, wow. And I just, I thought, well, how sweet, you know. It kind of made me tear up a little bit. And I drove her out and dropped off Miss Kay's, and I didn't think about it a whole bunch more. And a few months went by, and when our kids were little, you know, we would tuck them in at night and say, you know, the little, you know, "Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord for my soul to keep," prayer with them. And the only thing I can figure, looking back on it, is I had said prayers with Lacey and our older son Buddy, and had gone to bed and sat up and watched TV and couldn't go to sleep. It's probably 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm kind of restless, and this melody kind of came to me, and I'm thinking about, I guess, Lacey and the prayer, and that moment came back to me about what she said, and this melody came to me, la da 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 dee 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 dee, and I started writing a song and sitting there in bed, and I got up and I went up front and got my guitar out, and about an hour and a half later I had the majority of that song written down, and that's just it was a gift from God. That's the only way I can say it. It's, you know, I'm not smart enough to think up something like that, and it was just something he gave me, you know.
Oh, wow, buddy, that is just put hairs on my arms. You know what? I normally don't do this, but would you sing a little bit of that for our listening audience? You don't have to sing the whole thing because, you know, we want them to support you and to buy the song. But could you sing a little bit of that? I'm telling you, that just touched my heart.
Well, it says, the moment was custom made to order. I was riding with my daughter on the way back from Monroe. And like children do, she started playing 20 questions. But I never would have guessed one would touch me to my soul. She said, Daddy, when we get to heaven, can I taste the Milky Way? Are we going there to visit, or are we going there to stay? Am I going to see my grandpa? Can I have a pair of wings? And do you think the guy could use another angel to help pour out the rain? And then you got another verse and a little turnaround. Something innocent she said that God used, you know.
Wow, that's it. Now tell our listening audience, where can we get that song? It says that was off of your self-titled Columbia Records release, debuted at number one. What's the name of that project, and where could we get it?
I tell you, I've got a live CD out called Wanted Live that has a great version of that on it. If you go to buddyjewel.com. And you can buy that there, or you can go to iTunes and get the original version of it. It's for sale there. In fact, the original version of the song is called Lacey's Song, and it's on a CD called One in a Row that's on my website. But the version that was recorded and played the million times on the radio is called Help Pour Out the Rain. That's on the Sony project, and you have to go to iTunes to get that one.
Wow. Okay, listen, audience, you hear that? Please go out there and support Buddy. That is a beautiful, beautiful testimony and a beautiful song. So let me ask you a question, because, you know, I ask this question all the time to, you know, artists. What is your motivation? Do you get, when you write, does the melody come first? Do the words come first? You know, how does God drop it on you to be able to make it manifest and be, you know, the beautiful melody that it comes out for us to hear?
You know, when I first started writing songs, it was the melody that came first. I'd sit around and tinker around with a guitar, and I would just hear things in the guitar strings, and I'd be playing along. I think the older I've got, the words seem to come. You know, first now, but I still am predominantly more of a melody writer, and you know, I've never been able to sit down and write a song out as far as the words, and then try to put a melody to it. I've got to have a melody to work with while I'm writing, or I don't get very far. So it's very much melody for me. It drives it for me.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, I also read that you served in the military. You know, kind of give us some background about that. It said that in December 2010, you traveled with the Sergeant Major of the Army on an extensive USO tour as well. So were you in the military, or did you go and over, like, you know, and sing to the troops?
No, ma'am, I got to clarify. I've never served in the military, and I really do appreciate all our men and women that have. I was very proud and happy to go with a sergeant major to Afghanistan and Iraq and Kuwait. And I did go out for 2 weeks, and we went into the war zones there and went to all the little forward operating bases. And we were, you know, in the, you know, out there where they were, you know, in harm's way for a couple of weeks, but nothing like, you know, the men and women that are, you know, that are serving our country. I mean, we were in some pretty dangerous places, but you know, we didn't know. We came under fire one time while we were there. But nothing like what our men and women go, you know, have to go through every day through there. But I sure was proud to get to go and serve my country that way.
Amen. Now, how long were you over there? And how many shows did you guys do?
we were gone for 2 weeks. We visited bases in Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We were at the two major bases in Kuwait. We were in Baghdad, Balad, Bahrain. I'm trying to remember the major places we were in Afghanistan. Oh, goodness gracious. They call it Taliban's last stand there, the big base in southern Afghanistan. It'll come to me as soon as I get off the air with you. We would do major shows at the big bases, but every day we would get up and we would get on the Black Hawk helicopters and we would fly out to the little forward operating bases. They call them FOBs. And we would sit down, we would land, and we would perform for the troops there and sign autographs, and we would sit and we would eat lunch or dinner with them, and then we would maybe go, if we had time, we'd fly out to another one and then do the same thing and then fly back and stay in the barracks there where the troops were housed, and then the next morning we'd get up and we'd go somewhere else. And if the weather was bad, if there was, and by being bad weather, it meant there was too much sand in the air to fly, we would get in what they called an MRAP, a big armored vehicle, and they would drive us to another base, an operating base, and we would go there and we'd do a show there and then come back to base. And I went with some really wonderful people. My good friend Kenny Thomas is the one who organized it all, and he was part of, if you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, Kenny was actually one of the Rangers who actually was a part of that movie. He was one of the real soldiers that movie is about. And Kenny was nice enough to take me along with him on that trip, and we had a couple of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. My friend Joe Cook, who plays guitar for me, he went with me to play guitar for me. We were with a fantastic band, the Army's band Downrange, played with us. They were phenomenal. I'm trying to think. Oh my goodness! Oh, the comedian, the Christian comedian. Oh my goodness! She's from here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She's gonna shoot me if she realized I forgot her name. And that was 6 years ago. So I slept since then. I'll be 55 here in a couple months. So.
Look, that's okay. Look, we're talking to the head and not the heart.
My son said when he said, "Dad, the place in Afghanistan is Kandahar." So yeah, Kandahar is the base.
Oh wow! How did the guys react when they saw you guys, coming over to bring them, some of that good old music, country music?
I was surprised at how young all of them were. I mean, at that time, my oldest child, Buddy, the third, he was 21, and every one of those kids, I mean, they were kids over there. I could have been all of them's dads. And what really struck me was how young they were, how well-trained they were, and how determined and focused they were about their jobs. And I was so proud of them, and even more proud to be an American than I was before I went over there. I tell you, I had a couple of really wonderful moments happen to me. We were somewhere in Iraq at one of these little bases, and we were signing autographs, and a soldier walked up to me, and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Hoss, I'm sorry." I said, "All you guys look alike to me. You're all dressed the same." And he said, "Well, Mr. Jewell," he said, "about four years ago, he said, you were at the airport in Houston, and you and I were on the same flight, and we were flying into somewhere in Louisiana, and our flight got canceled. And he said, and you saw me, you heard me on the phone talking to my parents, and telling them that I wasn't going to be able to make it home. I was coming in on leave. And he said, and you came over to me and said, hey, I heard what's going on with you, and I've rented a car. You know, would you like to ride with me? I did. I took him to his parents. I was going to where he was going. I had to get to a show that night. And me and him and somebody else that was with me, he rode with us for 3 or 4 hours. We drove him to his mom and dad and dropped him off, and he remembered that. And I mean, here we are halfway around the world, and this young man, I ran into him in Iraq, and I thought that was one of the coolest things. But you just never know, you know, how your kindness is going to show up later. You know? It was a great time for me, and I so much appreciate those young men and women over there and what they do and what they do here, you know, in this country as well, that not just the ones that serve abroad, but here in the United States and in every branch of service, our police officers as well, our firemen and everybody else that keep the peace here and serve our communities like they do.
Amen. You know, and I was going to, you know, jump into that because, you know, with all of the recognition that you've gotten, I mean, you've won the International Country Gospel Music Association Entertainer of the Year and Crossover, you know, Artist of the Year Award. But, you know, it's obvious, and I can feel your spirit. You're very humble, and you do a lot in giving back to your community as well. Talk to our listening audience about some of the opportunities and things that you've done and been a part of just giving back. Because it says that, you know, you truly have a heart for children. So, you know, talk about that a little bit and some of the opportunities that you've been given to, you know, give back.
Well, I want to encourage people to be involved in, you know, rather than, you know, pat myself on the back about all the stuff I've done, I'd rather just encourage people to get involved with charities, especially children's charities like St. Jude. And and if you have a children's hospital, you know, in your town or in your area, you know, like here in Nashville, we have Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and I'm an Arkansas boy, so Arkansas Children's Hospital is another place that I want to encourage people to get involved with. You know, if you have a veterans hospital in your area, you know, go visit the veterans there and spend some time with them. You'd be amazed at what just going and spending, you know, an hour a month visiting veterans there that are maybe, you know, getting dialysis or whatever. And visiting with them, how that lifts their spirits. Or, you know, volunteering, you know, just your time at, you know, at a children's hospital or whatever, or at a nursing home. You know, going to, because a lot of times these people in nursing homes, you know, they're put there, and a lot of them are forgotten by their families. So there's a lot of ways people can give, and you don't have to. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily with your wallet. You know, you can give with your heart. And so I just want to encourage people, you know, there's ways to give back that you can make a difference, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with your pocketbook.
Amen. I so totally agree. I do believe that, you know, we are a brother's keeper. And like you said, there are so many people that, you know, don't have anyone to encourage them or to show them love. And I love that about you. And, you know, I encourage our listeners to do that as well, because it's all about giving back. That's what God, you know, requires of us. That's what Jesus did. You know, it's all about love. And I just love that about you, buddy. Well, we've got a few more seconds left on the show. And one of the things that I asked my guest to do was to close our show out with a word of prayer. So I would be so honored if you would do that for us tonight.
All righty. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Father, to proclaim your majesty, Father, and your greatness. God, we thank you that you give us this this chance, Lord, to just give you the honor and the praise and the glory, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that everything that's been said here tonight, Father, that it's not seen as how, you know, wonderful we are, Father, but how wonderful and great and majestic you are, Father God.
Yeah.
Lord, we just love you. We thank you for these opportunities, God. We thank you for using our imperfections, Father, to show your greatness and your perfection and your holiness, Father God. We pray that everyone that's in earshot of this radio broadcast tonight, Father, that somehow, some way, Father, that this has been a blessing to them, God, and encouragement to them, Father, to the Christians, Lord, that are listening to this broadcast, Father, that encourages them, Father, to keep going and to keep moving forward, Father, to continue to serve you, Father. And for the people out there that are looking for, searching for a relationship or something to fill that void in their lives, God, we pray that this is the thing that opens that door, gives them an opportunity, Father, to call on your name and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. This is a chance for them to begin a relationship with Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, kingdom citizens, I hope you were blessed tonight because I truly was blessed. Buddy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and to bless us with your heart. And how can we reach you in the future as far as wanting you to come and sing or, you know, do things like that? Kind of tell our listening audience how we can reach you.
You know what? There's great ways. Of course, please, I encourage everybody, please, you know, follow me on Facebook and Twitter and all those great things. You can reach out to me there through my website. If you go to my website and click on tour, on the tour tab, there's a place there where you can email me for bookings. It says you can email me at bookings@buddyjewel.com, and we can respond to you that way. If you're looking for me to come play your public, private, or corporate event, we love to come out and we play churches and schools and all kind of places. It my motto is if it pays, we plays.
I like that. I'm going to have to use that one for my future of my slogan. Well, thank you so much. And Kingdom Citizens, we thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I love you. I thank you for your support and for tuning in. Don't forget the show is archived, so you can pass it along to your family and friends and let them know that what they missed out on tonight, they can listen to it again. So as we always close out the show, let's talk. We'll see you and hear you on Friday night. Buddy, thanks so much. You guys have a wonderful evening.
God bless.
God bless.